You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacer fans, welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, my name is Adam Friedman. I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com, and joining me on the other line, the man of too many titles, he writes for too many sites about basketball, is Mr. Tony East. Tony, Andrew Bynum, Monta Ellis are trying to rejoin the league. What are your thoughts?
I think neither of them are going to make a team.
I think Monte could. Monte could make the back end of a team.
That's true. The team he's working out for those of you that haven't heard, is the Timberwolves, though, and they are like $5,000 under the tax, and there's no way you're going into the tax to get Monta Ellis.
Did they sign Luol Deng yet, officially?
They did sign Luol Deng.
That puts them right.
They're right at it with 14 players.
So what's the veteran minimum for Monte? Like in the twos, right? Not the mid.
2.4 million, but his cap hit's only 1.5. Either way, they go over the tax.
Would they have anybody worth $1 million they could cut to get Monte? Would they do that?
I feel like I saw this on Twitter. This is my idea. I feel like Tyus Jones to Phoenix, which we'll talk about Phoenix trades later, makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Well, and then Andrew Bynum, I guess he had a short stint with the Pacers, a memorable one. A very boring one.
Gosh.
And it derailed the entire Roy Hibbert career.
But what a terrible, terrible, terrible thing that was.
He's not making a team, right? He's 30 years old.
No way.
He's in like great shape, but he was just he had like, what, five straight years of just like trying to make teams, getting cut. Like went to Philadelphia, got cut. Came to here, got cut. Went somewhere else, didn't he, for a little while, get cut right away?
Going to get cut by the Cavs, so they traded him to the Bulls, who then cut him, and then the Pacers added him, and remember the thing too is like he was playing bad and getting hurt, and then he just got pouty, and there was that story about him just shooting the ball from wherever he caught it in practice.
And like, remember he was the highlight of like a Sam Hinkie rebuild before they went into the tank.
Right before they traded Jrue Holiday, they were like Andrew Bynum.
Well, they brought him in. They thought he was going to be like he was awesome. In L.A. Put him to 18 points a game his last year in L.A.
He was an all-star. It's crazy.
I mean, he was.
I don't think either Monte or Bynum really – I mean, Monte might have a shot. You're right. But, like, I feel like Bynum, there's just – get to the training camp somewhere, but there's just no way.
I just can't imagine he's in shape. That's my biggest worry. Monte is just too old by now. The knee injuries have gotten to him too much.
Yeah, he's only 30, but that's old when you're a center who's been hurt a million times.
Yeah, and Monte's what, like 32, 33 now?
I don't actually know. I should have put that in my article. I just wrote about his time and in –
I believe he's in his
chemistry.
He's
32. He turns 33 in about a month.
And he had that knee injury with the Pacers for a little while that kind of derailed him. That was a great other note, that was a great contract by the Pacers to have him non-guaranteed for the last year if they cut him before the season.
Yes.
That was very shrewd move by Larry Bird, who probably kept Pritchard design, to be honest.
Thank God.
It probably had Pritchard design, right? No way Larry Bird thought of that.
No, they did it with Stuckey too, so maybe.
But I'm saying Pritchard has been was the guy that probably orchestrated that kind of like language.
Yeah, that's possible.
Because I can't see Bird knowing that kind of NBA trivia crap. But who knows? all right, let's move on to something a little more interesting. Because I mean, both those guys aren't going to play in the league, so who cares? You want to start with top 100? You want to do Corey Joseph?
No, let's do Joseph because I already brought up Tyus Jones.
All right. So a report from.
Well, we need to do the backstory, I think, first.
You want? Okay, I would say a local reporter for the Suns, right?
Yes, John Gambardo. So the backstory, we'll get to John Gambardo's report in a second, is that they just traded Brandon Knight, who was probably going to be their starting point guard, in that Ryan Anderson trade to pick up that young guy, De'Anthony Melton. But now their three point guards are Shaquille Harrison, De'Anthony Melton, and Eli Okobo, who have a combined 384 total NBA minutes. And now Devin Booker is also hurt, so they pretty much need a guard. And they were looking to trades. And the first rumor was like they looked for like Kemba and Dame and some other way too good above their pay grade guy. But then this report from Gambardo is that the three guys they were internally targeting were Spencer Dinwiddie, Corey Joseph, and Patrick Beverley.
Okay. So I guess the Suns own Milwaukee's first round pick next year, as long as it falls between 4 and 16, which it actually might not, so who knows. Would you take that pick for Corey Joseph today?
Yeah, but not a chance they're offering that pick for Corey Joseph.
Well, that pick will, assuming that the Bucks are still good, will probably fall in the 20s by 2020, because it's top 7 predicted in 2020. So, I mean, barring a Giannis injury, it's going to be
I don't think Corey Joseph's expiring contract is worth a first round pick.
But then he's probably worth keeping for a second round pick, right? You're not going to trade him for a second round pick. That's not worth it.
No, it's not. That's why this trade is not going to happen.
So then that's a barrier for completely. But well, no, it could happen if they offer the first round pick.
They would not do that. I don't think they're that dumb.
I don't know. The Suns are kind of a stupid franchise.
They do have a terrible GM.
Yeah, they have a pretty terrible. So then who out there is the point guard worth a first round pick? Like,
so
a single first round pick. Lillard's too high in value, and so is Kemba for probably a single first round pick.
Well, let's talk about what Caitlin said, because I actually agree with her. They signed Trevor Ariza. They drafted. They traded for Mikal Bridges on draft night. They already have Josh Jackson. Like, they're pretty full on the wing. Also Booker. So TJ Warren seems like the guy they would want to trade. So if you're interested in TJ Warren instead of Corey Joseph, I feel like that's what they would offer.
He was a great fantasy guy for me last year.
Yeah, he is a good player. I do like TJ Warren. He just can't shoot, he's not very good on D. He can't shoot, but he doesn't shoot, so it's hard to call it a detriment. You know, he took like less than 1-3 a game. But yeah, he's a really good scorer, but he just can't play D. And I don't know if I'm married to having him long term if I don't think he can play D.
So he's in the last year of his deal, right? Or is he?
No, he just signed an extension last year. Remember, 4 for $50.
That's right. So that's a decent amount of change for a guy who maybe can't shoot three. And like I said, he's great on fantasy, but we don't know if he's a good stat bad team player.
He's fine. I think he'd be like a better sixth man kind of guy than a starter. And if you have him long term, you're kind of married to him having some sort of role.
So here's the thing with the Pacers, though, right? They technically, if they wanted to, have three point guards in the roster without Corey Joseph, right? You could play Oladipo point guard, and you could play Tyreek at point guard, right?
Yes.
And they are weak at the forward depth, per se. So it would logically make a little bit of sense to flip Warren for Joseph straight up, especially because you lock up a dude longer term, or Joseph's afraid of next year and you don't know where he's going.
I don't think they've been pursuing the, like, I agreed with, I'm really copying Kalen's tweet out loud here, but I agreed with their, like, they didn't take all this time to have this future flexibility to just flip Corey Joseph for $12 million of TJ Warren.
But they still have the flexibility, though, don't they, really? I mean,
sucks up quite a bit of space if you count in Turner's hold and Tyreek's hold and all this stuff. Like, adding extra $12 million does not help. And it probably would take them out of max contract space.
Yeah, I guess. But you also, if you're betting on not re-signing Bojan, then that would kind of be the best you could bet.
Right? It's like, I don't think he's a starter. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good NBA player. I think he would make some sense, especially if they didn't have McDermott. But he's not going to be the starter, so it doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
What if you could, when you can't trade McDermott yet? Never mind, you can't trade until December.
No.
But you could flip McDermott and Joseph for him. That would probably
Because that's the thing. If you could trade him for Ariza, I would do that in 2 seconds. But you can't, because you can't trade Ariza till December.
So maybe this trade happens in December. They trade
that's Corey possible.
Corey Joseph and Doug McDermott for TJ Warren. I would do that.
No. For Ariza.
No, I would do it for Warren, and they threw in a pick on the other side too.
That would make sense. That would be possible. Because
you could get off McDermott, who realistically is a fine contract, but he's sort of like a hedging piece, and then you have Warren there as your kind of sixth man starter, and then you could probably go a lineup where you could play, I guess then you wouldn't really pursue a small forward in free agency. You could pull your money towards a power forward.
Yeah, who knows? I just don't feel like there's like a logical trade that both teams would want.
Yeah, I think the Suns are stupid to give a first round pick, but
I don't know
how protected it is. Well, they could protect it somehow, like they could trade. Can you protect a pick that's already protected? So like,
no, you cannot.
So they have to give up their own pick, like top 25 protected for 5 years, probably, or top 20 protected or whatever it is. I don't know. I think you're probably right. The problem is, I just don't know. Like Kemba being traded for TJ Warren straight up is probably too low of a deal. So you need something else in there. But then somebody else like Tyus Jones, like, I guess it makes sense for TJ Warren. That make the most sense, maybe. But then maybe you work out a deal with the Wolves to somehow get off Wiggins contract, use some bigger, massive deal.
Yeah, that would make some sense. I don't know. It's hard to really contrive a situation where sending out Corey Joseph gets you a ton of positive value back.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably a second-round pick, right, realistically?
Yeah. He's in that weird, like, Nate Duncan coined this term, like, the 1.5-round pick value.
Yeah,
and you know, like maybe the maybe it's something like this. This is how they usually do it. It's like the Suns send you that Bucks pick, and then the Pacers send a second in return. So you give up Corey in a second, and you get a first.
Yeah, but the second round picks have no value, in my opinion. They're like worth like they're not worth. It's almost like they're not worth the paper they're printed on. Like,
the Suns' second round picks are going to be good, but the Pacers' second round pick is not going to be good.
That's what I mean. So it's like. But even a mid, how many players besides like Draymond have been in the mid thirties that have really become something?
The last couple drafts have had, I feel like, good second rounds. Maybe I'm crazy.
I mean, you're like thinking of like specific players, but there's no like I feel like if you get a top 20 pick, the guy's not guaranteed, but he's probably gonna be a rotation player. Excuse versus me. Not that's not even that might not be true. But like in the '30s, you're really kind of stretching it with rotation player even.
Yeah, last year, I mean. Jordan Bell, Shemi Ojeleye, Frank Mason.
Yeah, but none of those guys are like, I mean, besides maybe Jordan Bell, none of those are like, oh, wow, I want those guys today.
The year before that, the Suns' old point guard, Tyler Ulis, Pat McCaw, Malcolm Brogdon.
So Brogdon, but like it's occasion. It's one every 3 or 4 years or one guy who's maybe.
That's how I feel like it is in the 20s.
That's true, maybe. I mean, that's probably also true. I don't know. I just – it seems like the only way you get a first-round pick for Doris Joseph is if your team is guaranteed going to be in the 20s, basically. That's why you get one. Like that's probably what he's worth, right? Like a 27 or 28th first-round pick.
Like very last picks in the first round.
Like a Houston Rockets first-round pick.
That'd be great.
So, I mean, I guess the bigger question is I don't really know what the Suns' grand plan is here. Now they traded Brandon Knight and their point guard. They seem like they're in on trying to win this year, but they don't have a point guard. It doesn't make sense. I guess maybe the logical move is could the Pacers flip Darren Collison for a first-round pick for last year? And that could be true.
I'm going to plug Locked On Suns here because they have an episode talking about how this trade would happen.
Oh, they do?
Yes. Talking about not this specific trade, but like one of those three guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was saying like I think Darren Collison would be the more likely one to get traded for a first-round pick if they made any move for a point guard, I guess. I don't think they want him because he's too much of a scoring point guard, I guess, or too much of a – I guess he's not really ball dominant. I mean, he played for Lance Oladipo, so I don't know how they would do it. But he seemed like that would be the guy you get a first-round pick for, Darren Collison.
Yes, I agree with that one.
Just because you know for sure he makes your team better.
The Suns SB Nation said has this exact quote, "For the three options presented, which were Dinwiddie, Corey Joseph, and Beverly, just the Milwaukee pick or multiple protected seconds likely gets the trade done."
I'm not sure any second. How many seconds would it take you to? Would you want to trade Joseph? Two.
If it's the Suns' exact second, two.
I feel like again,
two picks in the high 30s are just as good as one late pick in the 20s.
No, I don't know if that's true. I think
you're really, really overvaluing the difference between the 25th pick and the 32nd pick.
Well, I think you're also overvaluing the idea of 25 and 35 being anything in general. I think anything over like 15 has no value really.
Exactly. So get two chances instead of one.
Or keep the guy that helped you win the playoffs.
Yes, that is what I would do. I would not do this trade at all.
And a guy you probably could re-sign if you try hard enough.
Yes, we would like him to be on the team in the future.
That's why I think you should just trade Darren Collison.
They're not going to trade anybody.
No, I think you're right. I think they like their team, like their chemistry. They're not.
Someone responded to me when I posted the article. I wish I screenshotted it, but he's basically said there's no way anything like this would happen before the trade deadline, and I agree 100%.
So then, if the Suns offer the Bucks pick, would you take it if you're the Pacers? Even all the chemistry stuff, would you take it and run with it?
Man, I don't know.
Right? No. That's the thing. That might not even be good enough today. You know, at the trade line, it probably is, depending on where your team is.
I don't know. It's just the timing of it. You know, then you're stuck like – really counting on Tyreek Evans' health, if not Aaron Holiday's playing 15 minutes a game, and that's
Holiday pops the first 20 games and should be playing minutes, and then that's how they get rid of one of those guys.
That's why I think Tyus Jones makes more sense because he's young and fits their timeline. The Timberwolves aren't going to play him at all because they have Derrick Rose,
and they signed Jeff Teague, so clearly they committed to that position for a little while.
Right,
that makes the most sense. I agree with you on that one, but I don't know. That's a tough one. You know who didn't make the top 100 list, though?
Tyreek Evans.
Well, Tyreek Evans or Corey Joseph. Corey Joseph. But one son did, Devin Booker, right?
Well, Devin Booker was 50th, yes.
Yeah, so let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk about the, I guess, 31 through 100 ranking on the SI basketball players list. All right, welcome back in. we teased before the break, we're going to do the talk about the top 100 SI basketball players for the 2018-19 season. This is projecting forward. They have not reached the top 30 yet, so we don't know. There could be more Pacers in there, probably one, but three Pacers made the top 100 list at 79 with Domantas Sabonis, at 76 with Thaddeus Young, and at 67 with Miles Turner. Vic is not on his list, so we assume he'll be in the top 30.
We know
he will be. Yeah. Tony and I both guessed the same number for the break at 18. We're talking about it, so we think he could probably be around the 18 range. But and then I assume there's no other Pacers because I just couldn't see it. Darren Collison, I think, should be on this list. Talk about snubs first, I guess. I think Collison and Tyreek probably could be on this list.
Yeah, so the Sports Illustrated did their own article of snubs. I wish I pulled it up, but I didn't. But Tyreek was in it. So it was like Marcus Smart and I forget someone else, a couple notable guys. But anyway, Tyreek was in it. So he's probably, they have him as one of the best 110 players in the league, which is fine. I think Tyreek last year was good. And this is talking about this coming year. So I get why he'd be a little lower than like basing it off of last year because he's just going to play less minutes. But I still feel like, you know, some of these guys in the top 100 at the back end is like Lonzo Ball, Brooke Lopez, you know, Reggie Jackson. Like, I feel like he's better than all those guys.
Yeah, the problem is we had this before. We were talking about before was if you're projecting forward, Lonzo kind of makes sense here.
Yes, with the Lakers, especially with LeBron now, he could be awesome.
Yeah, and you know, Tyreek is also the injury factor in there. Does he actually play enough games to even qualify as top 100 player? If you play 49 or 50 games, it doesn't really make you a great player. You know, in part of being a great player is being healthy. Right. You know, what's the saying? The best. Ability of a player is availability. So, I mean, that's part of it. But at the end of the day, though, I think he should be ahead of Lonzo in the sense that he's going to probably be better than Lonzo because he's going to be able to be on a more competitive team because he's going to be on a weaker conference.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think he's better than him right now. And if they're saying for this one season, I think you have to go with him. But I think even this, like, Lonzo's going to be better than Brooke Lopez to me. So, Brooke Lopez, get out of here. Move over. I'm looking for the snubs thing.
I mean, I want my Darren Collison case real quick. So last year, Collison had probably one of the top offensive ratings for a point guard of the league in 3-point percentage and turnover ratio. If he does that again, which he could because it's not like out of the run possibility, he's just a top 100 player for sure. And offensively, he's a top 10 point guard in the league. So
right,
him not being even maybe on a snub list is kind of disappointing. And that's been Darren Collison's career, right? He has come really underrated everywhere.
Quietly been amazing the last three seasons. It's hard to just show. It's hard to show your impact when you're on the Sacramento Kings.
Well, it's also hard to show your impact when you're a 6'1" point guard that everybody thinks can't play defense. And
he's
like,
not 6'1". We've been over this, but yes.
Okay, whatever. Whatever.
So some other guys on the snub list are like Malcolm Brogdon, Carmelo, Jay Crowder, KCP. Oh, good players. I think a lot of these guys are better than some dudes who made it. Gallinari's pretty good. So, TBD.
Then with Sabonis at 79, is that right spot, overvalued, like undervalued? That. I think it's about right.
I like that, given who's right above him. Is, you know, he's like right in front of Nikola Vucevic, who other centers around him. I mean, you know, he's right in front of like Nikola Vucevic and Lauri Markkanen's right on his butt. The guy right in front of him, I believe, is Serge Ibaka. Yes, Serge Ibaka. So, you know, he's right around some pretty impactful players, but they seem to recognize that he is on the rise and very good.
Yeah, I mean, Sabonis was probably one of the – should have at least been in the talk for sixth man of the year last year.
Maybe. I mean, he wasn't even coming the first off the bench, really, but part of the problem.
In terms of the most impactful bench players, he stepped in for Turner when, for 15 games, something like that. He put up 12 a game. He had some incredible early season moments that were like 7-for-7s or 7-of-8 kind of games where he put up like 20 points. I mean, in terms of impact, I thought he was definitely – he might have not been the first guy off the bench, but he was the most impactful bench player. Joseph is right there with him, but I thought he was the most impactful bench player on the team.
Yeah, that's fair. He was really good and helpful. Like you said, I think the most impactful part of him is when he plugged in for Turner's injury just fine.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Joseph did start over for when – Carlson number two, so that's kind of off to each other there. But Alex Smalls at 79. I think he could get higher, though. I mean, I think
absolutely
top 50 going into 2020, maybe.
Yeah.
The next season, at least 2019, 2020.
So this is the perfect sentence. Thaddeus Young's at 76. So the two guys between Sabonis and him were Ibaka and Trevor Ariza. Thaddeus Young's opening sentence description in the article is, Thaddeus Young lives and works in the background, which seems to suit him just fine. And, I mean, that is just spot on.
Yeah, this is probably as high as he's going to get ever in his career.
Such a quietly good player. I mean, yeah, he'll probably only decline, but my gosh. I mean, so I just look think at his... he's so criminally underappreciated. He is a very good player.
I think you're right. I just think you look at his stats in Indiana. He has fallen off points-wise. I know it's
he did
overall shots having dropped, but he's like sort of leveled. I think
I'm always going to wonder how much that wrist injury really changed him.
Yeah, I don't know. His three-point shot was not good last year, but it wouldn't seem like it was like broke or anything by his like form-wise, at least. I don't know. Right. I think maybe at 30% three-point average is an aberration in his whole career, and that's what the wrist injury.
Yeah, I agree.
Sort of brought him back to earth. Turner at 67, maybe the lowest he'll ever be again.
Probably. So no one really crazy between Thad and Turner that you'd be mad about. I don't really think they did a bad job, but like, I think it got a lot of the players right. You can argue order. I think there's only a few guys that I think are like drastically wrong. But yeah, right behind Miles Turner, 69, Dwight Howard, 68, DeMarcus Cousins, 67, Miles Turner. So they are A, pretty high on Turner, and B, low on that Achilles injury for DeMarcus. But that's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, and I guess I think Turner could be on the top 30 in this list next year for next season.
If everything goes how everybody thinks it is, he will be. I don't think he can get to top 30, but I think he definitely get to the 50 to 30 range.
I think he can get to the top 30. I think he could be the thing of centers, I guess. He could be in the top five of centers next year.
That's a lot to ask.
Especially if Porzingis is not playing. He could maybe pass Towns. That could be a possibility.
Wow. I do not think that's going to happen. Steven Adams is 38. Like, if he gets to Steven Adams' level of impact next year, I'll be thrilled.
Well, he has the ability to be more impact in the offensive than Steven Adams has, basically, I think. Just because of who he's playing with and maybe the ability to get the ball more often.
Maybe.
Like, Adams is not really getting balls and not really posting guys up that often. He's mainly getting alley-oops and getting set up and every so often, very much like, okay, kind of we're going to give you this
very good fun screener, roll man, rebounder, defender.
I mean, yeah,
Kevin
no.
Love is 31. Like, that's the kind of guy you have to pass to get to top 30. Capella is in this group.
What's Capella ranked?
35. Gasol is 40.
He could be above all. He could be above, I think, Adams and Capella next year for sure.
Wow. I don't know.
A great year. I mean,
it's possible. I just don't see it as much as a lot of people.
I mean, so like,
put that high.
If Turner is a 20-point a game score with the defensibility he had last year, he's probably where Capella is or close to it. Probably below.
Oh, yeah, but I just think that there's like very little chance that happens.
Oh, I think he's gonna have an offensive explosion here. I think he might have.
It's a 20 points a game. Wow.
Well, that again, it's just all about shots. I don't know if it's not, but he could have a really efficient year in terms of
that's possible.
Too. You know, like thinking of like a 7 of 12 kind of season.
That'd be great.
I mean,
I think you know. Top five is crazy.
What, him being top five in center-wise?
Pat, Gobert, Jokic, DeMarcus, Anthony Davis.
So right,
Adams, Capella.
Hold on.
All these dudes are great.
Hold on. I think you got Gobert for sure. You got Davis for sure. Jokic, and then who are the?
Carl Anthony.
So
Carl
I think
Anthony Towns.
But Towns defensively is not that great. So I mean, he's an awesome.
Towns is amazing on offense.
I know, but defensively,
Towns is no doubter a top five center.
But not if he can't play defense.
Yeah, his offense is that good. He's like a sixth. Like he's so efficient. He's such a good scorer. He makes the team so much better.
But if Turner's putting up 20 a game with the defense he has, he's better than Towns probably.
No.
Yeah, probably close to it.
Towns is amazing.
So, I mean,
I feel like we're missing someone. Al Horford, Embiid. How did we miss these guys?
So that's what I was trying to do the list. I had Embiid at 4, and then you're looking at the list of 5 is between Towns, where you classify Love as a center, Adams, Capella. There's kind of like, I think there's kind of this 4 above when you after Embiid, and then you kind of this drop off, and it's sort of where he could be in that category.
Embiid, Horford, Cousins, Jokic.
So Horford's in the Towns. Same ability where Horford is.
Gobert.
In terms of pure stats, is probably not a top five center, but obviously in terms of impact.
Oh my god,
maybe is.
Rudy Gobert is no doubt a top five center.
I know. That's what I think you're off on a player. I know. I give you my four who are locked into the top four, I thought. Embiid, Gobert, Jokic, and Davis. Then I think the fifth spot is open for the taking by anybody.
Wow.
I mean, right?
Carl Anthony Towns right there.
I think he could pass Towns. I don't know. Horford, you could talk me into it, but Horford's going to put 12 and 6. I don't know if that's worthy of a top five center in terms of like,
jeez.
I don't know. Jeez. Horford's a great player, but I don't see him
at the top. Horford is an amazing player.
Yeah, but he's sort of.
I'd be closer to putting Horford in the top three than outside the top five in centers.
I think his impact on that team is just like a cog in the machine kind of thing.
Oh my gosh, he's probably the most impactful. We're way off the rankings now, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if he's like if you put him anywhere else, he's a top five center.
He did this on the Hawks. He was this good on Atlanta.
Well,
they offered him 5 for $160.
No, he didn't offer him less than that. They offered him 5 for
like 140, and he walked because it wasn't the max.
No, I think it was 5 for $120 because the max was 5 for $140. You're off.
Gosh, I wanted him in Millsap Torque so bad. Yeah, he's just crazy.
I don't know how to explain with Horford. It's probably because it's just his pure stats are not that high. It seems like to me that he is not a top five center and that he's just like a really impactful like player, but he's not a top five center.
If Turner gets to 20 points a game, I'd probably put him 6 or 7.
Okay, so now you're just one off. So okay, all right. So that's what I'm thinking. Turner's a 20 point a game player, 20 and 8.
I don't think that happens, but if then yes.
Yeah, I think it could happen. I like the offseason he's having. I think he's reworking his body. I think he's gonna get centered more in like yoga, and he's gonna be a better offensive player.
We could hope.
Agree though. Vic's gonna be in the top 30, but probably not the top 10.
Yes, I think he's gonna be inside the top 20, outside the top 10, but I don't know where exactly.
If he's top 15, you were surprised?
No, probably not. I mean,
if he's number two,
all NBA guys, right? Like that should be top 15.
If he's number two, you're surprised?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. If he's ahead of LeBron, Durant, or Steph, I will be surprised.
If he's ahead of DeRozan, should he be ahead of DeMar DeRozan?
I can already tell I'm gonna be mad when DeRozan is ahead of Kyle Lowry.
Should he be ahead of John Wall?
That'd be interesting. DeRozan, which could be a better player than Raptors DeRozan.
Okay. Should he? I'm trying to think who else could he be on that level with him? I mean, he's gonna. Should he be? I'm trying to think of another player who'd be kind of on Bradley Beal. He's been ahead of Bradley Beal, right?
He'll be ahead of Beal. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another kind of guard out there. Kyrie, he'll be behind Kyrie probably.
Yep.
But should he be?
That's very close.
Okay.
What if we're all shocked? You know, what if he's like 10th? That'd be awesome.
I think shocking is like 12. I think pissed off is 20 in the 20s, and normal should be about between 17 and
20. I don't know how quick they're going to release it now. I feel like they're going to go 10 at a time. So I don't know. We might not find out until Friday.
We'll do it on the next show. We'll just do that on the next show.
Ugh. Speaking of next show, what's coming on Friday?
We're going to do a Darren Collison player preview, and then next week we're going to switch to the small forwards, right?
Yes, we are.
We're going to do Bojan and Dougie. I almost said Boogie. and Doug McDermott. And you can just take – I'm not going to say it, but you can just guess doing Bojan Bogdanovic. Just guess out there. It's pretty obvious who's going to do Bojan. I won't
tell anybody who I'm doing that with.
And then the other guy – other one who doesn't have a love obsession with Bojan Bogdanovic is going to be doing Doug McDermott. And then we'll move to centers the following week. So look forward to that. I think we'll probably do – our weekly show on Monday, but maybe we'll push to Wednesday again. We'll see. I don't know. We can talk about it later. But there'll be three shows this week and three shows next week and three shows the following week and three shows the following after that. And then it'll be almost like the five shows a week season.
Do you have a guest for Friday?
I do not yet, but I was going to kind of try to get one tonight.
All right. There we go.
I take this one day at a time, Tony. One day at a time. you got anything else? You write anything?
No. A lot of news dropping, so keep up with all that on 8.9 seconds between the trade rumors, Bynum, Monte Ellis, Ben Moore in the news. We're doing a how the Pacers match up with all the teams in the division series. So fun, cool.
I think next week we'll talk about the international games, right?
We will talk about the internationals.
All right, so
we should.
Yeah, we'll do that next week. Obviously, whatever comes up, we'll talk about that. If Monte Ellis talks to the team, we'll for sure be talking about that. I'll tell you that next week. That's all we got for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow Tony at Teased NBA, me at Free Madden 5, or our show at Locked On Pacers. You can check out our previous podcast. Tony did a opener. We did a preview on Tyreke Evans last Friday. Then he did the first one of on Corey Joseph. Check those out. Those are on our iTunes feed, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Check those out. And that's it for Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll be right back.